everyone. Can you hear me? Is this working? Do I need to get louder? You know I like to get loud. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining the SXM Media Pass the Mic event, the podcast movement edition, which is really exciting. My name is Monica Robles. I'm part of the SXM Media family. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm going to tell you why. First, as you can see, we have an incredible panel in front of you. But also, I've never been to podcast movement. Can you raise your hand if this is your first time? I don't want to be lonely. Oh my God, this is great. So it's the first time for a bunch of us. It's like the excitement of like Disney World when you were a kid, right? Except for me, I was a weird kid. So this is how I felt walking into the Museum of Broadcast and Television on 52nd Street in Manhattan, which was a total frustration and disappointment for my parents. But if someone can take a picture of me up here now, they don't have to know that you guys are not here for me, but at least they'll see that there's a track here, and this is why I'm here today. So Pass the Mic was an initiative that SXM Media started as a means to amplify female voices in this industry, but more importantly, to inspire the generation of the future leaders to come. So in the past, I've had the opportunity to be, and super honored to be a part of Pass the Mic. It afforded me the opportunity to voice and represent the LGBTQ community as a queer Latina. And this is why I'm really excited to be here and introduce this incredible panel of female creators. I don't wanna mess this up, so today, please join me. We're gonna take a deep dive into the minds and experiences of accomplished creators. We're gonna learn about what fortified your path. We're gonna maybe take a step back and see like what you would do different if you had a time machine. But we also wanna hear about the best advice that you ever heard or the best advice that you can give to the future leadership of the world. So join me in welcoming this incredible female creators to the Tap In Into the Wisdom Vanguard podcasters. Thank you, everyone. Oh, you need a mic. Pass the mic.
We did it. Hi, my name is Caitlin Van Horn. I lead marketing for Simplecast. You are not here to see me, though. So I would love for our panelists to introduce themselves and also give one podcast that they love. Jordan, you want to start?
Hi, my name is Jordan Cobb. I am a fiction podcaster, specifically independent fiction podcasting. I create science fiction, horror, action thriller shows such as Primordial Deep and Giannis Descending. Lately, I've been going back and listening to the real classics of audio drama. So I've been listening to Ars Paradoxica, which is a sci-fi time travel show about a woman who is suddenly thrown backwards in time and has to make her way. And I can't give any more without giving spoilers, but it's excellent.
Hi, everyone. My name is Delia D'Ambra. I am an executive producer and host for Audio Chuck Podcast Network. We produce Crime Junkie, Anatomy of Murder, Counterclock, Park Predators. A podcast that I am listening to right now. Well, one, Crime Junkie, obviously, hooked on that. But I actually find myself listening to American Scandal a lot. Love that show. And then I have just gotten really into Crooked City by Mark Smerling. I think I'm just really, that's just like my genre now. I'm like into that. I guess I'm so in true crime all the time that I kind of like, in my entertainment, have to step away from that. But yeah.
Cool. Nice to meet everybody. My name is Hala. I'm the host of Young and Profiting Podcasts. We're a number one education podcast across all apps. Also just hit number one entrepreneurship on Apple. I interview the brightest minds in the world and unpack their wisdom into actionable advice. I'm also the CEO and founder of Yap Media, an award-winning social media and podcast agency, and the founder of Yap Media Network, which is a new podcast network that was recently signed to Cumulus Podcast Network.
Congratulations. So I know a lot of people come to these types of panels looking for really good advice, and I wanted to be difficult. So I would love to hear the worst advice you've ever gotten. And did you take it, Hala?
Sure, I'll go first. So the worst advice I ever got was to be active on all social platforms when I first was starting out. Everybody told me I had to be visible on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube and podcasts and LinkedIn, but I decided to trust my gut and just focus on LinkedIn for 2 years straight. And then I became one of the biggest podcasters on that platform and then leveraged that to grow my podcasting empire, basically. So I'm super happy I didn't take that advice and I just focused on one platform.
I feel like with podcasting, there's so much opportunity to spread yourself thin. And sometimes it's nice to hear people say, like, don't.
Yeah. Just focus.
Yeah, Delia?
So I came from the background of broadcast news journalism. I worked in that for 6 years before I made the full leap to podcasting full time. I was in investigative reporting. And so in the broadcast news industry, you know, there is, I mean this in a loving way because I have so many friends that are still in this industry, but a lot of vanity in that industry. And so a lot of the advice that was given was really look out for number one, look out for yourself. It's about you and your career and climbing the ladder. And though that's not to speak for everyone in that industry, what I came to find as a storyteller is that that's absolutely the opposite of what you should be doing. And so in a way, it was this advice of like, hey, you know, make sure you're by this market, by this year. And I decided not to follow that because I didn't feel that that was really true to my core. And so, yeah, that was really bad advice. I did not take it. And now I think I've been blessed to be as, if not more successful in this industry than I would have aimed to be in broadcast news.
I also feel like I see you everywhere on like lots of different true crime podcasts and places outside of that as well when I was doing my research for this panel. And it's like, that doesn't happen if you only look out for yourself.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you got to work with others. And I think that's what I realized was so cool to this industry was working in groups.
I'm always like, podcasting isn't pie. Like, more for me doesn't mean less for you. Anyway, Jordan, worst advice you've ever gotten?
You can fix it in post.
Can you not?
No, you can't. I especially can't because I don't do the sound design, so I have to look out for everyone on my team. It absolutely is collaborative. You can't just be looking out for yourself. Something interesting that I've found as I've been getting deeper and deeper into the creative spaces is that what is bad advice for one person is not necessarily bad advice for everyone. And what is good advice for one person is not always going to be good advice for everybody else. Yeah. So you really have to have an ear to who is giving you this advice. What motives may they have behind it? Is it do what I did advice or do what's best for me in this situation kind of advice that the other person is giving you? And being able to really have an ear for that will take you so, so far.
Yeah. Preach.
Speaking of things that work for some people and not others, I would love to talk about money. I feel like specifically women don't talk about money enough. We really need to. It helps everybody. So that in mind, how did you finance your entry into podcasting? I know you all sort of come from different backgrounds. So where did the money come from the first time around? Delia, you want to start maybe?
Yeah, so when I started Counterclock on my own before I went under the AudioChuck banner, I had very little funds. I was just doing it because I wanted to be doing it in this space, investigative journalism in this space. And so I paid $100 an episode to Resonate Recordings, which is, they have a booth here, fantastic.
We love them.
Yeah, love them. And then they were a startup at the time, and then they boosted their price to $200 an episode. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I can't afford that. Well, my husband at the time, who wasn't my husband at the time, he was a boyfriend of about 6 or 7 months, realized how invested I was in it, saw the work that I was doing, saw the reciprocation from the victims of the stories I was trying to tell, and he paid Resonate in advance for several credits, which would have been several episodes worth of editing. He was my venture capitalist, I guess you could say, and he believed in me, and to this day, I married him, so obviously he got a pretty good deal out of it. So I think it was just, you know, seeing someone that believed in you and had the means to do that. So yeah, he was my little seed funder, I guess.
Amazing. I guess maybe now I'm reassessing this whole marriage thing. Hala, how'd you get started?
Sure, I feel like I have a really unique story about how I got started. So I started Young and Profiting as a side hustle while working in corporate marketing. And I actually had volunteers. By episode 2, I had my first volunteer. By episode 8, I had 10 volunteers in a Slack channel. And I basically knew everything about how to create a great podcast, so that's why people were really attracted to work for free for me. I had video editing skills, graphic skills, social media skills. I used to work in radio, so I would teach everybody how to do everything, and then I had all these different arms and legs, which enabled me to work a corporate job and run my podcast for 2.5 years and just like grow it really big and grew my agency. When we actually first started making money, it was because the guests that would come on my show would ask, you know, who does your marketing? How did you grow your LinkedIn? How did you grow your podcast? And eventually I put two and two together, started hiring my interns and volunteers, and turned it into a social media and podcast agency. And that's kind of how it all started.
That's amazing. Jordan?
For me, it was a combination of nepotism and having really great friends.
Oh, yeah?
Be honest.
Yes. My dad has always been my number one supporter. At the time that I started podcasting, I was in my senior year at college. And I was creating this show, basically trying to figure out what I could do with a combination of acting and creative writing, and that's how I sort of fell into audio fiction. Because I was taking a voiceover class and a screenwriting class, and I was like, hey, other people are already doing this. I can probably do this as well. And it got to a point where I was trying to talk to my dad about, you know, just figuring out the logistics of things, because he's a very straightforward thinking person and I am not. And he said, if you want to create this and publish it, I will help you to fund this so that I could, you know, pay my friends a very small stipend and to find people to do the sound design, to do the music. Moving forward from there, most of what my shows have been funded by are crowdfunding. So we do a lot of Indiegogo campaigns, which is an excellent, excellent way to fund a show. So long as you can, you know, break down exactly what it is that you need and you're willing to pay the, like, 7%, I think it is, that they ask for. Crowdfunding is an excellent source of being able to show the world, like, hey, I have this product that I really want to share, and getting people to support you, that also helps to start bringing in an audience, because they're like, hey, this thing that I've already paid for is now finally out in the world. Let me continue to share it with other people because it meant enough to donate. So let me, you know, sit down and actually listen to it.
I feel like, editorial disclosure, I have backed many of Jordan's Kickstarters. But it's so interesting to me because these are obviously three very different methods, but what they all kind of rest on is this, like, foundation of having, of being able to demonstrate your worth to other people. And I think in order to do that, you have to know your worth. So I'm gonna do the obligatory imposter syndrome question, which, like, I feel like always happens on a panel of women. But have you been dealing with imposter syndrome? Have you embraced it? I saw someone talk once about, like, yes, you're a trickster god. You're fooling everyone. How amazing, what a skill. And I'm like, okay, cool. But how do you deal with imposter syndrome? Is it something that never touched you, or? Holly, you want to start?
Sure. So I feel like I get imposter syndrome from time to time, but I feel like the real key to make sure that you don't have that is to know your stuff. So it's like, they call me the podcast princess because I feel like I know everything about podcasting, and that gives me the confidence to not have imposter syndrome because I feel like I know so much that nobody can really make me feel small. In terms of when I feel small, it's like if I have a big guest, for example, Deepak Chopra came on my show and he was like half asleep and I was like, wow, you're really not happy to be here. And then that will make me feel like insecure, like, oh, he thinks I'm too small, or, you know, he's not that happy to be here. But other than that, you know, just fake it till you make it, I guess.
I would say, you know, I don't necessarily think I've dealt with, like, imposter syndrome, but speaking from, you know, as a journalist, there are times where I'm like, wow, I cannot believe these people are trusting me with this, or, you know, this is really heavy. And so I kind of have that guilt of, or and a lot of times I deal with in the true crime space, like, why did this happen to these people? And like, why is this system so broken? And so those kind of things weigh on me. But I think I've always been very determined. It's what led me to do this simultaneously in the beginning while also working a second shift job at a local news station. I mean, you know, that was a very like run and gun type job. So I think I was always confident in my abilities as an investigator. I just wanted to be able to do that on a platform that I felt like it could really breathe, and that's what podcasting brought. So, I don't know, I've been determined, but yeah, there are times where you're like, is anyone gonna like this? I don't wanna put it into the world, but it's, to me, the story and the advocacy for the victims is what pushes me over that hump.
I also feel like, you know, you said like, oh, do these people trust me? And your shows have reopened cases or brought additional attention. So it's like, clearly they're in very good, like, very
trustworthy. Yeah, we're in a good spot now. In the beginning, it was like, okay, everyone, I'm not, you know, believe me.
Yeah. Jordan, what about you?
Absolutely. I think it comes sort of hand in hand with being an artist or a creator of any kind. There are always going to be those moments when the bottom sort of drops out of your stomach and you're like, oh no, am I the right person to tell this story? Have I told it well enough? Is it going to find an audience? Are people going to resonate with it? Does it touch the heart? The thing that really helps me to move through those particular moments is having a really solid support network around me. And knowing that I'm working with people who I really respect and trust. That if I can't necessarily trust what I'm doing, if I'm feeling shaky in myself, I know that everyone on my team is doing the absolute best that they can do and that they are passionate and deserve to have their stories told as well. Having faith and trust in absolutely every member of your team is integral and will really help you to get through all of the rough patches, whether they're internal, whether it's, you know, your finances have collapsed, or whether, you know, suddenly, you know, your mic stops working, and you're like, oh no, what do I do? You know, you've got someone,
who
a
you
fantastic
trust.
Team member who will come help and take care of you. That's just what you do.
I feel like I'm so lucky to work with a lot of really amazing women, like Grace, who is somewhere, Grace is there, and JB, and it's really like, the best people around me are really just mirrors, so that like when I'm not trusting myself, you have like this really strong network of people who are like, I just need to remind you of who you are. And sometimes I feel like I just need to be reminded of who I am. Yeah.
You always gotta have friends who will tell you to straighten your crown.
Oh yes. how are we doing on time? I just wanna check in. I don't know. Do we know? We don't know.
7 minutes.
Okay, cool. So I think that, you know, we learn a lot from successes, right? But I think we can learn just as much from failures. So if you would indulge me, I would love to hear about a time that either you failed or things just didn't work out the way you wanted to, and kind of like what you learned or what you took from that. Holly, you look so excited to get started.
I have so many failure stories. I'm like, pick me. So my whole journey, I think, was just like a roller coaster of up and down. So I worked at Hot 97 for free for 3 years. I was Angie Martinez's assistant. And when I asked for a paying job, in radio, you really have to pay your dues before you get a job. I was fired. And in an instant, my whole identity was totally, you know, taken away from me. And I was devastated, but I got fired on a Thursday. By Sunday, I was working on my next thing, The Sorority of Hip Hop, and I started this website, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. We almost had a show on MTV. Then that show on MTV, they filmed us all summer, and this was 3 more years of working basically for free, building this blog and this organization, and MTV pulls the plug last minute before it airs. We were literally gonna be the next Jersey Shore. And again, I was, you know, devastated, had to start from zero. And I just picked myself back up and started something new. And so the moral of the story is that every time you fail and rejected, usually there's a gatekeeper trying to tell you no. And that's your sign to figure out, how do I just build this on my own? How do I create my own lane? And that's honestly how I started Young and Profiting Podcast, and it was one of the best decisions of my life. So failure can be a huge blessing in disguise.
I think failure really helps shape your craft. And so early on in my career as a journalist, I was really always set on, I'm going to make deadline. And we still have deadlines on podcasting. They're a little more stretched. But there's probably a couple times where maybe I didn't plan accordingly, or I lost track of time, or I got too deep in the weeds on something, and I lost track of that, and then deadline came and gone, and you know, what that allowed me to do was really sharpen what I was doing in time management, sharpen how to become a good interviewer. If you only have a certain set of someone's time, you need to make sure that you execute that interview as good as you can. Yeah. That's probably not proper English, but you do that, and so every one of those little kind of micro failures, I think, really helped me shape what I was doing for a living. I mean, it even translates to today.
I love the term micro failures. Yeah. That's wonderful, Jordan.
Yeah, every failure, quote unquote failure, is a lesson. It's an opportunity to learn something new, learn something you didn't know before, because you have no idea what you don't know. And failure is a real great teacher. You'll learn very quickly what you don't know. My very first fiction podcast show completely fell apart right at the end of the very first season. We'd made 6 or 7 episodes. We came to an episode that was going to have this really cool sound design. The characters were trapped in this repeating time loop. It was like a Groundhog Day type situation. And I'd written something that was a little too complicated for what my sound designer at the time was able to handle. And so we kind of found ourselves struggling to put this episode together, and ultimately the show just fell apart, which was really disappointing, especially because the show was very well loved. I still get people talking to me about how much that particular show meant to them and asking, is it ever coming back? And something that I learned from that particular experience is knowing that even the failures have worth. There's something that even if a particular project does not come to the full fruition of everything you dreamed and hoped that it would be, if it means something to you, it'll mean something to other people as well. You're not only learning these things to help you to move on to your next project, it helps to shape who you are as a person and how you learn to deal with those moments that feel sort of adversarial. These moments of conflict are really great for helping you to figure out what kind of artist are you, what kind of stories do you want to tell, who are the people you want to continue to work with. All of this helps to shape not only you, but your craft.
I was telling my mom about a time I really whiffed it, and she was like, well, Caitlin, a smooth sea doesn't make a skillful sailor, and you never have to do it again.
My dad says that to me all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's a Jersey thing.
One of my favorite quotes is when you fail, you don't start from scratch, you start from experience.
Oh, I love
good.
That.
Yeah, that's real good.
We're just like a little inspirational slogan factory over here. Okay, I'm going to do one last question. A lot of powerful women in this room, a lot of executives, a lot of independent creators. What do you want to tell them? What's just one thing?
I mean, I would say to any executive, I mean, I look back to where I was end of 2018, early 2019, Ashley Flowers, the CEO of AudioChuck, she had just Crime Junkie at the time. She had a vision for the company. I was a journalist. She gave me, a cold call email, and we merged our minds, and now we've gone on to create, half a dozen other shows or more. We've worked with other companies and creators. She's gone on to have a tremendous impact in the true crime space. And so I would say, if you're looking at someone who was like me that was coming from a pretty established career but had this sort of different take on what they were going to do, like, give them a shot. But also, like, vet their work, but give them a shot. And I think that was something that was incredibly valuable to a new creator that's out there that's maybe in this room or maybe an established creator. Just, like, stick to your craft. Be committed. Be organized. Be planned. That is going to go such a long way, and it's going to make you appealing to people that want to work with you or that you could have your product showcased on their platform. I mean, I think it's just really important.
Yeah. Holla?
So, echoing what you said, give up-and-coming creators a chance. I remember when I was just first starting out, one of my biggest breaks was CastBox. I reached out to CastBox, I told them about my LinkedIn following, and they decided to feature me on their app. I didn't realize that costed any money at the time, but they featured me month after month after month, and it really helped my career. And to this day, I'm always shouting from the rooftop, CastBox, CastBox, and I've helped them a lot as well. And so when you give somebody a chance, usually they're going to pay it forward in the future.
Jordan?
Speaking of giving really cool new creators a chance, There is a booth right downstairs of other audio fiction creators. If you are out there looking for a brand new story, either just for yourself or, you know, for whatever industry cool things that you are putting together, downstairs, booth 7 has a plethora of incredible creators who are all, not all just getting their foot in the door, but so many new voices. It's really important that we be able to uplift those of us who are maybe not as far forward into their careers as the rest of us are. That we need to be able to, you know, one tide lifts all boats. That we cannot be in this for just ourselves. We have to be in this for other people. It's not about you. It is about the people who are around you, and it's about everything that we can build and create together. How many stories have we lost because we're unwilling to either reach out a hand to other people, or because we've simply walked by these stories or smothered them? How many new things can you bring into the world by co-collaborating with other minds?
Well, thank you all so much. My heart is so full right now, and I really appreciate all your time. If the people want to find you, where should they find you?
You guys can find Young and Profiting Podcast on all major podcast apps. If you want to find out about my social media and podcast agency, it's yapmedia.io. And I'm on Instagram at yapwithhala. And you can just find me anywhere. Just Google my name.
So obviously audiochuck.com, all the shows are there. My shows, Counterclock and Park Predators, also have their own websites. And then Instagram, you see like pictures of me. I have a 7-month-old. He's like showcased on there. Just Dilia Dammer on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, again, audiocheck for sure.
I decided to be super complicated with my Twitter and Instagram handles, so I'm not going to give you those. I'll give you my websites. You can find my fiction work at nosuchthingradio.com, and you can find me either as an actor, writer, speaker, anything you need me for, at jordanvcobb.com.
Thank you all so much
Thank
again.
Thank you.
Thank you.